Me one, way out in the crowd. I blow the sound, the pain, but not a soul would come inside my world or tell me how it's true. I love a melancholy baby, sweet with fire in our belly, and like a spice, the woman turn a whore. Cool and smooth around the beach, you wake the note inside me and I blow me mine. Inside here, me one in the crowd again, and plenty people want me blow it straight, but straight is not the way. My world don't go so, that is lie. Now give me back my trombone, man, it's time to blow me mine.
Creative man, in pursuit of his dream, lives in his own private world, distant perhaps, though never safe, too frail, too vulnerable. This was the world in which Don Drummond lived, but when he wished, he gave us visions, brilliant, bright and bold, but often blurred and sad. He walked a taut tightrope in the channels of his dream. At times he slipped, dogged by ill health, but we would wait, hope, as he regained a balance on the tightrope. Wait, hope, for more visions. It was this that was so painful about his life. The visions were never long enough, fleet, fluid, fast things they were. Here now, a whisper tomorrow. As a musician, jazz, the music of the new world flooded his veins. He owed an emotional allegiance to J.J. Johnson, but had his own way of expressing what he felt. Simple melodic lines with a sly mocking humor, a fine sense of harmony. It is a bitter irony that some of his finest music will not be a legacy for future musical heirs. Unrecorded dreams dropped at sessions, concerts, clubs. Few of us filed a phrase, a line in our consciousness, feeling sure that the musician lives and plays forever. But not so with Don Drummond, for the pursuit of the dream also destroyed the pursuer. How true is the saying, if a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps he listens to the sound of a different drummer. Drummond truly listened to a different drummer. Let each man step to the music that he hears, however measured or far away. RJR presents a Requiem for Don Drummond. Thank you.
at Federal Records while I was doing my session. That would be like 12 or so years back. Well, he came in to be auditioned for my session as a vocalist. Well, what he had to sing wasn't really ready for commercial purpose, but I heard at that time that he really had some musical inclination. Well, seeing him and dealing with the person, I hadn't realized that his Don Drummond's really that I had known and I've seen on stage, like places like the Carib. Well, after speaking to him, I realized who the person was and that he had been in the Bellevue and he was seeking some form of acceptance in this sort of field. So I then thought of getting him a trombone and to see if he had that sort of stuff, you know, that I heard by the Carib Theater earlier, maybe a couple of years before. Well, and get me the trombone, I gave it to him and found out that he was in perfect musical condition. As a matter of fact, he seems happiest playing his music or with his instrument in his hand, you know.
Themselves the question, why should a trombone be played another way? I personally, and many others with me, from the beginning of hearing him, used to wonder who we would listen to if this man stopped blowing. Because Don Drummond understand us and we get to understand him. Music like School in the Duke was played in that one and only way that caused people who had very light heads to come to defend jazz very strongly, even though that jazz was being played in a ska background.
Thank you.
band a session, and then we started by doing mostly instrumental. I got him to sign a contract for musical backing and solo works and the whole works. That lasted for like 6 or 9 months. Then at that time he got goofy again and went back in the Bellevue. Well, he didn't return. He spent about like, I'm not too certain, 9 or a year. Well, on his return, he seemed to be in, you know, normal condition, because Dan is one of the person when he's in the right mood, as I would think would be the right mood, is more like jolly, and the things that he would do, you know, like he enjoys hurting someone, not like by hitting, you know, but the things that he does, you know, because I've experienced a lot of that. Now, and Don's second return from the Bellevue, you know, we thought of making an instrumental and named it This Man, That Man Is Back.
Of Marcus Garvey was not only entertaining, but it was also educational. It insisted on our being attentive, and it also made man maintain a folklore by being emotional. Listen to that tune again when you hear it, and listen to him in Dandelion when he comes to agreement with the trumpet of Johnny Moore. The unity that prevails in that music is something savored like sweets. They maintain a tension with their hands that made Nims the drummer alert. Listen again, listen to Treasure Isle, and you will hear how man can make instrument such as traveling and motion and floating to man. Listen to the tune Scandal, and you will hear a man suggest a certain amount of shocking happenings just by the way that he introduced a tune. And you listen, and you hear Lester Sterling take over the music and introduce the improvisation. And by the time Dan Drummond is ready to speak again, he's like a man telling of this said scandal, but every verse of his improvisation is just like the different versions of these stories that these same people from who he came always had when the scandal is about. In a different mood, going slower, we can go way back to one of the earliest recordings, Blue Moon. The time you hear Drummond painting the, not only the name of the tune, but also the blueness of the moon. In a different light, also slow, but behind vocalists, backing up Dottie and Bonnie with Darius, you hear the man submitting himself to the will of the vocalist and helping those vocalists to express what that tune Darius was trying to say. Like a man dealing with him Darius, or vice versa. But the feeling was there, and the willingness to express the extent and the boundaries of that said love to a man Darius. Every tune, every piece of music, over 500 of which this man made, every piece of music that Dan Drummond ventured into, was like the theme for a very great movie or a very great Broadway show. It was one of them, like even Street Corner. It was an announcement of some sort. Man in the Street. Every one of these tunes sound like a very great theme song. And every one of them was. Dandruman music have the effect of ganja.
The death of any man saddens me, and the death of John Drummond surely saddens me. You see, Don suffered a lot, and any man who contributes this much as Don did to society or to a world has got to suffer. Well, Don was in the school, you know, the approved school, and would be termed as a delinquent, and from that stage he would try to let the people see that a man being a delinquent isn't worse off than another man who wasn't, as far as quality and ability is concerned. Don produced for us a music that the old world of the greats had to pay respect to him for, you know. And the things with him that he chose an instrument that most musicians were afraid to even to touch. The trombone is really the hardest wind instrument to play. And Don produced such superb sound from that instrument that it made, as I said, the world great, respecting quite a lot. Even in the island of Jamaica, living with Don, he was a quiet, peaceful man. And what went wrong is just one of them things, you know, because a man who's concentrating as hard as Don can't stand like nobody to be bothering him at time when he's concentrating. Because his concentration produced a sound that will live on in Jamaica and over the world. You all know the records of Don Drummond's, and every one of them had a meaning. He was a soul brother.
Drummond's, one of the greatest that I have known through the years. A great guy, and like all great guys, he had to die young. In my short association with Don Drummond's during the time of his Skatalites, I find him being withdrawn most of the times from his colleagues or the public in general. But that's always the way of a great musician. Some people would say he's antisocial, but he's always thinking about his works. As a jazzman, he's rated among the best in the world. As a technician, I think he's the best. His ideas are deep, most of them filled with sadness. I remember once we were listening to a Don Drummond production, and my wife always admired his playing, and one day I said to her, Why do you like his playing so much? What is it you see in his playing? Her remark was that everything he does on his instrument is always filled with sadness, and it makes her heart goes out to him. And I think that's one of the main reasons for his achievement. He has been sad most of his life. He has been ignored by society, so to speak. But in my estimation, he made it. Only a few has made it the way Don did. And I know his name will live on forever. And I must say, it has been a pleasure and a real joy working with the man. To you, Don, I say, keep up the good work. And wherever you are and wherever you may go, we will always remember you as the greatest.
To talk about Don Drummond is to talk about one of the, I think, truly original and creative musicians that this island has produced. I never really was close to Don. I used to go to Bournemouth Club when he was playing with Tommy McCook to hear him, and also to watch him, because I think one of Don's real qualities was the fact that in addition to being very audible as a musician, he was very visible as a person. And the way he was as a visible person, I think, was part of the total effect of Don Drummond. He was a strange fellow. I think that he lived in a world which was a strange world, a world that made him perhaps supernormal rather than abnormal, and this was one of the qualities that was expressed in his music. He very, very frequently, when he was playing, had a kind of almost incoherence. Some of the music he played was definitely bad music as far as I was concerned, although I don't know what qualification particularly I have to say it. I felt that it was not particularly good music, but it was all part of this world that Don Drummond inhabited as a musician, a world that was full of strange shapes and strange sounds. He did bring something very original to Jamaican music, a great originality, a great talent, because he was a fine musician, a fine trombonist, a good arranger, a good man in the section. And I think the fact that he worked with Tommy McCook, who is another fine musician, was something that was both challenging to both of them and valuable to both of them. Tommy, who can be very, very brilliant in extemporization, offered the kind of challenge that Don Drummond needed periodically to bring him back into the world of that was peopled by other people. He was tremendously introverted as a musician, and I think partly this incoherence that periodically can be heard in his music, if you listen to it objectively, was part of this escape mechanism of his, the runaway to the Don Drummond world, which society at least said was not the world of a normal man.
Drummond was a Jamaican and not within the mainstream of the Western European cultural tradition. His life and his death tended to follow the pattern of the English Romantic poets of the 19th century and latterly of the American jazz musicians of this century, with whom of course he had some direct relation. Drummond's work was not always consistent, both as a player and as a writer. But at its best, he produced work I would consider of high musical order. Something like School in the Duke, which was popular some years ago, was a work in execution and in planning worthy of anyone. And this, though perhaps the best example, not the only thing like that that you could get from Don Drummond. As a player, we have heard a lot of his rating without any factual evidence necessary to back this up. But anyone who has listened to jazz extensively recognize that he was, at his best, an original trombone stylist with a great control of the lower register, and when he was coherent, he had technical control. There's also a pervading spirit of melancholy throughout much of his work you find in many of the best artists. His life, like Charlie Parker in the United States, came eventually to a conflict between creation and destruction, and it will appear when we consider how he ended his life, where he ended his life, at what age his life ended, that destruction won out in the end. But for a creative musician over a period of 20 years to produce what he did, when we get the stuff put down all on LPs or all on one coherent tape, again, it might be like Charlie Parker, not in the sense of one achievement as many lesser artists have put out, but fragments of greatness that I think really reflected the man and his comment on his society. Other people in this program have spoken and written about what Drummond has done, and I tend to support what many of them have said. It is a pity, I would say, that his potential, his real truth, still was left unexpressed, but what we have shows really what people can achieve without a great deal of formal training once they have the gift of expression.
Inside here, me one in the crowd again, and plenty people want me blow it straight, but straight is not the way. My world don't go so, that is lie. Gonna give me back my trombone, man. It's time to blow me mind. We'll be right back.
the tributes by Mervyn Morris with a poem, Valley Prince, Coxon, Robin Small, Prince Buster, Tommy McCook, Fred Wilmot, and Jimmy Carnegie. The program was produced by Dermot Hussey and Lloyd Chuck. This is an RJR presentation.